Throughout the 50 days of Easter, sacred music for the world. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen 24/7 to sacred music for the Easter season. LPR, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
I'm not surprised that Mr. Trump found Norman Vincent Peale's sermons memorable and substantial, because nothing that he has said has been any more memorable or substantial.
If there isn't a real death on the cross for our sins and a real resurrection to show that death is overwhelmed in victory, then forget it. There is no point in messing with Christian faith whatsoever. Go and join the Rotary Club.
Adam and Eve ate the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now there's a better tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the tree of the cross, and we eat the fruit of that tree. We receive our Lord in the Lord's Supper.
Indiana truck drivers, love issues, etc.
It always helps to know something about the context of in this case, the characters that Jesus populates his parables with. It's easy to get parables wrong. In fact, that's part of the purpose of Jesus telling the parable. He wanted those who believed to get it right and those who did not believe to be left in the dark. The parable of the Good Samaritan is one of those that can be read a bunch of different ways, but you really aren't going to be able to read it right unless you understand who Jesus is talking about. Samaritans, Levites, priests, and this man who is there along the side of the road and has been left for dead by robbers. We're going to be talking about the parable of the Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10 on this Tuesday afternoon, April the 12th. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. Thanks for tuning us in. Pastor Tom Baker will be with us for the first half hour. Then Dr. Andrew Steinman joins us. We'll talk about an example of ancient handwriting that has been uncovered and what it means for the literacy debate in the Old Testament and how liberal Bible scholarship tends to date Old Testament books very, very late, later than they need to date those books. And what does a piece of pottery with a little bit of writing on it do to overturn those assumptions on the part of liberal Bible critics? Then, after a conversation with Dr. Andrew Steinman on that subject, Dr. Peter Scale will join us. We'll respond to liberal proof text today, Luke chapter 6 and 7. Do they teach liberation theology? Jesus talks about the poor there. And liberation theologians say, well, that just shows that God has a special preference for the poor. We'll talk a theology of lament in the last half hour of the program with Dr. Gregory Schultz of Concordia University, Wisconsin. Our call-in number for the next 2 hours of the program, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet @issuesetc. Our on-demand listeners can use the Issues Etc. comment line for their questions and comments, 618-223-8382. Joining us to teach a Sunday school lesson on the Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10, Pastor Tom Baker, host of a radio program called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you, Todd.
What do we need to know about the cast of characters in this particular parable that Jesus tells so we can rightly understand what he's trying to teach here?
Yes, most important, there's actually seven different ones. First of all, the lawyer who asks the question is not necessarily a lawyer who's in a courtroom. This could be a teacher of the law who taught in the synagogue, and so he knows the law very well. The robbers, the road is quite familiar that Jesus is talking about, and the robbers are Samaritans. That's what you had to watch out for. You know, you go through certain parts of the country, and people will tell you, watch out for these kinds of people. When I went to Novosibirsk, for example, they said, watch out for gypsies who might try to steal your suitcase and this sort of thing. And each area has a different set. That road, the robbers were Samaritans. The priest and the Levite, members of Judaism, they went by him because they were following certain ceremonial laws to avoid potential uncleanness which they would have occurred if the victim was dead or defiled in some way, the man who was beat up. The man who was beat up is also important to know that when Jesus speaks of him and he says a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, everyone would have assumed that he was a Jewish man. Then comes this Samaritan. Oh, Samaritans were not liked at all by many of the ultra-conservatives in Judaism because they came from intermarriage between Jews and Gentiles, primarily after the Babylonian captivity. And then it talks about that there's this, innkeeper. The inns along there were Jewish inns. And this makes it even more important to understand, because being a Jewish inn would mean that this was a Samaritan taking a wounded Jew to a Jewish inn. See, in those days, they didn't have police or anything, and so a lot of times relatives would take care of it. And so the Samaritan, to some degree, one could say, was kind of taking his life in his own hands when he walked into a Jewish inn with a Jew who had been wounded, and everybody knew he would have been wounded by that man's fellow Samaritans. So that's kind of a cultural background that I knew nothing of until I went to the seminary and, heard professors who had studied for a long time, and that's the context.
So tell us the parable itself. What happens here so that we get all the details correct?
The first thing I want to say is I actually had a DVD where I said this was not a parable, and I'll talk a little bit more about that later. But I was corrected by Dr. James Veltz, who has done a wonderful book, What Does This Mean? And he pointed out to me that even though it may not be a kingdom parable, namely like the parables talking about how Jesus works in the kingdom of heaven, the word parable simply means a comparison. And so it doesn't, one cannot say this is not a parable. It would be just a story that Jesus gives. And therefore, it's very important that you read closely the literature from Growing in Christ, because they make a couple of points here that I would have the Sunday school teachers not only look at Luke 10, but Mark 10. Because in Mark 10, there's a rich man who says to Jesus the very same words which this lawyer says to Jesus, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Now, in both sections, Jesus points them to the law. They give some kind of understanding that they're obeying the law. If you look at the rich man, I've never, you know, sinned against this since I was a youth. And the lawyer here wants to justify himself. Who's my neighbor? Thinking Jesus is going to say his fellow Jew. Then in both contexts, both in Mark 10 and Luke 10, Jesus finds an area where they sin. And this is really important. The rich man, he had too much trust in money. And the lawyer, he hated Samaritans. So Jesus says, oh, so you want to get to heaven by your works? And it's very good what it says here in the Growing in Christ series. The incident shows that Jesus reveals how ill-equipped the lawyer is to become an heir of eternal life by his own efforts. Jesus is really not just answering the question, who is my neighbor? He's answering the first question, what must I do? And it's quite interesting. At the end of the story of the Samaritan, he asks the lawyer, well, who was the one who proved to be a neighbor? And the lawyer can't even say, you know, the word Samaritan. He says, the one who showed him mercy. And listen to what Jesus says. You go and do likewise. This is really a law part of Scripture that Jesus is putting down the idea that anybody can do anything in order to inherit the kingdom of God. And so, therefore, I somewhat shy away from the idea that this is a parable of heaven or the kingdom of heaven on earth, and show that in light of Mark 10, Jesus is saying to both the rich man and to this lawyer, there's nothing you can do to inherit the kingdom of heaven.
So we have here Jesus kind of finding a parabolic way, a narrative way,
yes,
of speaking the law to this lawyer who supposes that, you know, he's pretty much got himself square with God in terms of the law. He might need one or two things to do, and Jesus gives him the impossible to do.
Excellent. That is the purpose of preaching the law. Every sermon, whatever the text is, you need to find in the text what is there that the hearer in the pew thinks that he or she is able to do, think, or say in order to get right with God, and then show them that that is impossible. But then the gospel needs to be said also. Now, in this particular event in Luke 10, it follows with the Mary and Martha story, so there's really no ending as to where the gospel is. But in the rich man, the disciples then say, who then can be saved? And then Jesus says that, which I would put on both of these, with men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. And the point I would make is that it is impossible for any man, woman, or child, rich man, good-looking man, ugly man, to do anything to inherit the kingdom of God. So therefore, God does it for us. And that's why Jesus Christ died on the cross, found us like a shepherd, put us on his shoulders, and carried us home. As Hebrews says, he not only initiates our salvation, he finishes it, and therefore he gets all the credit.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson on this Tuesday afternoon, April the 12th. He's host of a radio show called Law and Gospel, and we're talking about the Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10. When we come back, a little more detail into the parable itself and to talk about what the conclusion has to be for us as well. Stay tuned.
It was Jesus Christ our Lord. Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
Do you dread going to work out? Performance Fitness in Edwardsville offers a fun, supportive, tight-knit community and environment. Visit them on the web at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. 618-692-5063 or performancefitness618.com. Performance Fitness of Edwardsville.
Do you have a student finishing up eighth grade at a Lutheran school? Do you wish there were a Lutheran high school close to where you live so your student could continue going to a Lutheran school? What if there was an opportunity for high school students in public or Lutheran school to take classes like Latin, logic, and hard-hitting theology courses? Well, there is. It's called Wittenberg Academy, the first completely online classical Lutheran high school. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
Putting Christ back into Christian radio, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and lay people worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy promotes confessional Lutheran theology through conferences, scholarly exchanges, and publications like Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up for their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com. lutheracademy.com.
O Lord, open my lips.
Listen to chapel services live, weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Morning chapel from Kramer Chapel. Live weekday mornings at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest of Law and Gospel. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson on the Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10. I want you to talk a little bit more about the characters that do not prove to be the neighbor according to Jesus' story here, and that would be the priest and the Levite, who see the man there in his near-dead state along the side of the road, but pass by on the other side. Now, they would not have been faulted for that according to kind of the classical legalistic Jewish way of reading the law. They would have been commended for keeping themselves from any kind of uncleanness, wouldn't they?
Yes, well said. That there were certain Judaic laws that were not in the Old Testament, but it was part of Judaism. Remember, there was that one rule that children were to give their money to the synagogue or the temple rather than to their parents, and Jesus spoke out against that. And then look at all the times that he was accused of breaking Judaic laws. For example, when he healed a man on the Sabbath and the man picked up his bed, he was therefore working, which he wasn't supposed to do. And then Jesus comes back and says, oh, okay, so if you have your beast, a donkey or whatever, a mule, fall into a pit, you're going to wait till Sunday because it's Saturday and you can't do work. And he even pointed out how, look who works more on a Sabbath than anyone else, and that's the priests, particularly during the Passover with the killing of all the animals to sacrifice them to the Lord. So we also can find many excuses why we are not a neighbor. For example, we may not want to get involved. I enjoy watching various police stories, and you can't believe how many times somebody sees a crime and they just drive away because they don't want to get involved. Or maybe they're afraid that the perpetrators are going to come after them. It takes courage to be involved. And I can just imagine, I'm rushing to get to KFUO to do Law and Gospel, and then in front of me there's an accident and somebody is hurt. And I say, well, I don't have the time to stop. I have to be on the radio. And so I don't stop. Well, that would be wrong. The story here shows that all of us fail, but Jesus doesn't fail. There are those who like to think of Jesus as a good Samaritan who comes and binds us up, who pays the cost of taking care of us. And I'm not going to object to that viewpoint because we can have differences of opinion when it comes to interpretation of a text. But the good news is kind of found yesterday in the gospel reading where Jesus asks Peter three times, do you love me? Peter gives the indication he does. But the Greek is really interesting because the first two times Jesus asks, do you agape me, which is the highest form of love? And only the third time does he ask, do you phileo me, which is brotherly love, Philadelphia, city of brotherly love. And you see, we cannot agape God perfectly. The only time that agape really occurs is when God loves us. But he still takes us who has a kind of a lesser kind of love, a phileo, and he still chooses us to be his pastors or to be faithful parents or faithful spouses or faithful children and do the tasks where in the hymn we sang yesterday at church, we actually become partners with Jesus in fulfilling the task. So there's no doubt every time you hear the law, like in the rich man and in this lawyer situation, this is God's will for us. But as the Sunday school material points out very clearly, we are unable to do that. So we pray for all people, asking God that we might be good Samaritans to them when possible, but thank Jesus that he was the one who really has saved us. And that, I believe, is one of the main points of this chapter.
Just to pursue that line of thought that you had mentioned there before, and I agree with you, there are different ways of reading this parable, and I think Jesus actually intends that we see it in a broader way of reading it too, and that is that if Jesus is if we do cast Jesus as the Good Samaritan here, it is rather telling that this Samaritan not only just kind of takes care of the guy's immediate needs, he obligates himself to care for the guy's future needs too, and he drops him off whatever. You know, it costs you, I will repay when I return. There's a sense of he commits himself to this man for the long haul. Talk about that, if you would.
In fact, when he pays at first 2 denarii, a denarii is normally known as a whole day's wage. And then he says, excuse me, when I come back, whenever more you spend, I will repay you. And so the thing that gets me thinking, though, about Jesus' real point is two statements Jesus makes. When the lawyer says, well, I know what the law is. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength, etc., etc. Jesus says, you have answered correctly. Do this and you will live. And at the end of the story, he said, the lawyer, the one who showed him mercy, and Jesus says, you go and do likewise. Jesus, in his own words, has no gospel there. It's just pure law, because he's pointing out to the man, oh, you think you can live? Well, all you have to do is obey the law perfectly. And then in the story, he gives him an example where he cannot. And so to find the gospel here, you really need to go to like Mark 10 or other portions where Jesus does for us what we are unable to do for ourselves. And once you are converted, you can bring forth fruit of the Holy Spirit, which means being kind to a neighbor who may even be your enemy. The example I would give during World War II, medical personnel were often called on to treat wounded German soldiers that they were fighting against. And they did as well with them as they did with the Allies. And there's an example where love to the neighbor of one that is an enemy of you definitely took place. It's really difficult for us to do it perfectly. We can do it occasionally, but we were God's enemies, and he did it for us perfectly, and that's why we are saved.
And I think that bears repeating, Tom, where we often think, well, you know, if we have a genuine enemy to actually love them, we have to force ourselves into that. We'll do it. And we might even find ourselves having a little bit of compassion now and again, but we'd still regard them as an enemy. And here is Jesus who doesn't have to force himself to love those who genuinely despise him, who have made themselves his enemies. His love is genuine. It is perfect. It is complete. He loves his enemies as much as he loves his Father. It's a perfect love.
Yes, in fact, nowhere in the Bible does it say that God loves human beings and uses the word phileo, because that means you already have to have a relationship with God, and therefore he only loves those who are part of this family. When God's love is expressed to human beings, it is always agape, which is the highest form of unconditional love that one can have. And that's the word used in John 3:16 and every passage in the Bible where it talks about God loving us. In contrast, our love is often conditional. Well, I'll help out my enemy or I won't get paid for the job I'm doing or something like that. But it's really most important to understand that God's love comes first and then we are able to love. So we love because he first loved us.
So in a nutshell, with only a minute here, Tom, what's the long gospel of this famous and familiar parable of the Good Samaritan?
The law is that we can find time and time again where we use excuses not to help out those. And there also is the law that when we do help out those, we think we've got another rung on the ladder we've climbed in order to get to heaven. Both of those are shot down by Jesus' conversation with both the rich man and the lawyer. And the gospel is that when you get to heaven, and the question is asked, who do you give all the credit to for your salvation? You will always say Jesus. You will never say, well, I decided to invite into my heart, or I was good to the neighbor, etc. No, Jesus gets all the credit because he is both the author and finisher of our faith.
Pastor Tom Baker hosts the radio show called Law and Gospel. You can find out more about Law and Gospel at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Next week, Pastor Baker will lead us in a Sunday school lesson on the Good Shepherd. Tom, thank you.
And thank you, Todd.
Growing in Christ is the Sunday school curriculum that Pastor Tom Baker brings us every week in these conversations as we teach a Sunday school lesson. This curriculum is from Concordia Publishing House. It is Christ-centered and cross-focused. Find out more for yourself. They'll send you a free sample, 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040, or you can go to our website and find a link there to Growing in Christ, issuesetc.org, click Listen on Demand. When we come back, we're going to talk about an example of ancient handwriting, Old Testament handwriting, and literacy in the Old Testament with Dr. Andrew Steinman.
Those beautiful notes were just the beginning of We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God, Concordia Publishing House's debut CD collection from Pastor Stephen Starkey, one of the most significant Lutheran hymn writers of our time. For a limited time, save 10% when you use promotional code URA. Simply visit cph.org today. Lutheran thought, Lutheran substance, Lutheran music, brought to you by Concordia Publishing House.
At Zion Lutheran Church, Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin, we've adopted the motto, A Changeless Christ for a Changing World. While many congregations try to market a message that appeals to what a changing world wants, we continue to give a constantly changing world what it needs. A changeless Christ in word and sacraments like the church has done for 2,000 years. If you're in Chippewa Falls and would like to have the forgiveness of sins, eternal life, and salvation that Jesus won on the cross and delivers today in his church, please join us poor, miserable sinners. For more information, visit cfzionlutheran.com.
If God knows everything and has a plan, what good is prayer?
Pastor Jonathan Fisk talking about his presentation at this summer's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
Answer that with the Lord's Prayer's teaching about what we pray for. When we study the prayer attentively, we find in its words a beautiful mirror of the desire that faith in the Lord Jesus gives us to see the Ten Commandments fulfilled not just in Jesus on the cross, but also then among us. So often today, Christian prayer puts all of its marbles on asking just for daily bread. But there is so much we lose when we have only such hopes for this life. So what we're going to do this June is come back and be humiliated in repentance before our Lord and ask Him, teach us to pray, and we know we will receive what we ask according to His Word.
You can meet and hear Jonathan Fisk making the case for the Lord's Prayer Friday, June 10th and Saturday, June 11th at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference in Collinsville, Illinois. For more information, visit issuesetc.org.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues Etc.
The 27th Annual Congress on the Lutheran Confessions, sponsored by the ACL and Luther Academy, is April 6th through the 8th in Bloomington, Minnesota. The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission will present two seminars. On Tuesday, April 5th, Pastor Rob Jarvis offers an overview of the Reformation and our confessions. On Wednesday, April 6th, Pastor Jeremiah Johnson presents Catechesis Begins in the Home, Practical Ways to Pass on the Faith to Our Children. Learn more at theclcc.org.
In my family, education means cultivating wisdom and virtue by teaching what is good, true, and beautiful. Memoria Press makes this type of education possible with their classical Christian curriculum. Characterized by simplicity, quality, and affordability, Memoria Press gives my children a rich classical education. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.